Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A man in Arizona is facing felony sex abuse charges after he allegedly faked Down syndrome and tricked a series of female caregivers into bathing him and changing his soiled diapers.
Oh, man.
The depravity. Police arrested 31-year-old Paul Anthony at his home. He was charged.
I'll change my own soiled diapers. Thank you very much.
Paul Anthony Menchaca.
Oh, my God.
He was charged with 3 counts of felony sexual abuse and 1 charge of fraudulent schemes. Now, authorities said that Menchaca posed as a woman named Amy who advertised for a caregiver to bathe and change the diapers of an adult son with Down syndrome. Well, 3 women responded to the ad. Each told police that Menchaca would become sexually aroused as he was being bathed. And at one point, the first victim became suspicious and contacted Menchaca's parents. They told the woman that their son did not have Down syndrome or need diapers. The 3 victims said that they confronted him, and he admitted to lying to them about his disability. Police searched his home and recovered his cell phone and diapers. Menchaca told police that he is a school crossing guard.
Was freed from custody
after posting $15,000 bond. He has been ordered to have no contact with the 3 caregivers. How messed up is that?
Staggering. They had to be paid, right?
Was he paying them through this fake? I don't know. But listen, dude, you can like go on Craigslist or something
and hire a hooker.
I'm sure you can find someone who will change your soiled diapers.
Absolutely.
For you.
In fact, just looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. So, a Berks County man who admitted he drunkenly fired a shotgun inside his apartment because he feared there were clowns inside.
I know that fear.
Could spend the next 5 years in prison.
I think there's a clown here.
Reading police didn't find any...
I know you're up there, clowns!
Reading police didn't find anyone inside of the 35-year-old's apartment, Nathan Mathias' second-floor apartment, and they said that the shooting put his first-floor neighbor in danger.
There are no clowns around here, jackass.
He was sentenced Monday to 22 months to 5 years in state prison after pleading guilty in July to discharging a firearm to an unrelated drunk driving charge as well. Police say they found Mathias clutching a shotgun outside his house, claiming that he was trying to shoot 2 small clowns.
2 small clowns?
Yeah, they were tiny ones.
Oh, wow.
Mathias' attorney said his client wasn't trying to harm anyone, but was reacting to some type of hallucinatory event.
Oh.
They weren't real clowns.
They weren't really tiny clowns.
No, Mathias took full responsibility, and he also apologized.
Sorry about that whole clown thing.
My water heater made me do it.
You know, I touched a Dybbuk box. I'll get into it later.
A man upset over being awakened by the loud conversation of his friends threw a knife and it landed in one of their eyeballs.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Kayvon Pierce was charged with first-degree assault and first-degree reckless endangerment. Police said that they were dispatched to the hospital where a 23-year-old man was undergoing eye surgery. Witnesses said Pierce had been asleep on a couch in his apartment when several friends came in to visit Pierce's roommate. And at one point, police said the friends' loud conversation roused Pierce. He became irritated at the noise, picked up a knife from a side table and threw it at him. I don't know if he was meaning to hit him or not, but it landed in the guy's left eyeball.
Jesus,
and
so
stuck. They said,
so is the eye gone? It's got
to
be, right?
They said doctors are unsure whether they are going to be able to save the victim's eye or not. They're trying, but I don't know if they're going to be able to or not. How messed up is that?
A knife sticking in your freaking eye?
Boy, this is wild. And I saw the video of this. A schoolboy, this is in the UK, was left with horrific injuries after bullies forced him to recreate a YouTube stunt, which is known as the Roundabout of Death. Now, Tyler Bloom, is 11 years old, was left with possible brain damage, blurred vision, and bulging eyes after being found unconscious near a playground roundabout or a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
So the youngster had been told to sit in the middle of the wheel by a group of teenagers. It had a chair in the middle of it, okay? And they spun him around at a high speed using the rear end of a motorcycle, the tire. So they were using the engine to rev it and spin it. Doctors say his injuries are the result of being subjected to extreme levels of gravitational force, of G-force, normally only experienced by pilots and astronauts. Medics told his devastated mother the G-force had sent blood and other fluids rushing to his brain, which could leave him vulnerable to a stroke. In shocking footage circulated on social media, he appears to have passed out during the ride, but the teenagers around him did not appear to realize it, and they continue to rev the engine of the motorcycle powering the wheel.
So what's his long-term prognosis?
They don't know yet. Tyler, with his friend at the park, were approached by a group of older teenagers, one with a motorcycle, his mother Dawn said. She's now waiting by his bedside and hoping that the swelling on his brain will subside.
This poor kid.
Tyler had been... He had to be immediately rushed to the hospital for treatment for several injuries. His mother claims his injuries are so rare that hospital staff never witnessed anything like it before, and they had to research it before they could treat him for it. But his eyes are huge and bulging and red with blood.
So all the blood shot up to his head.
Yeah, all that went up into his head. It's messed up, yeah. All right, so we need a
happy one.
Yeah.
Anything happening in Florida?
Definitely not this story. Okay. I'll hang on to that one. That one involves eyeballs and blood-soaked bodies in a sheet.
That doesn't sound like a pick-me-up.
We'll get to that later on.
All right.
How about we end with this one? This could be my favorite story outside of all these crazy ones. A Tahoe, California man has been convicted of burglary while armed with a potato. And it gets better. William James Best went to the victim's home to confront her about a dispute that she had with his girlfriend. He allegedly forced his way inside the residence and was holding a potato on which he had carved the first initial of the victim's first name.
Oh, boy.
He then repeatedly threatened the victim.
Stand back. This is in Idaho.
But listen to this. Police arrived and arrested Best. He reportedly told officers that he used the potato to, quote, increase his punching power.
Okay.
So, like, he used the potato as, like, a brass knuckle?
Yeah, that's what he thought he was doing.
Okay.
Best was sentenced to a year behind bars in the county jail and placed on formal supervised probation.
I've got a rutabaga in each hand, and I'm ready to throw down.
If he violates probation, he will be sent to prison, the DA's office stated. So he thought, you know, maybe it was a powerful weapon that he had, the potato with a first initial.
Dude, think twice about this potato thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've heard of people like holding on to like a roll of pennies.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
But a potato.
Not a potato.
Not a potato.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
An inmate at Columbia Correctional Institution's annex was able to strangle and mutilate his cellmate, gouge out his eyeballs, wrap his blood-soaked body in a sheet, and walk into the prison's chow hall wearing the dead inmate's ear strung around his neck before officers learned that anything was amiss. Somebody was having a bad day.
Yeah, I bet you they got into a tiff.
Prison sources told the Miami Herald this. The murder happened Thursday morning hours.
No screaming, no nothing, no one even caught a wind that this was happening.
Well, he choked the guy.
Right.
So he can't scream if you're being choked, so maybe he was able to keep the sound down. The murder happened Thursday morning hours before an apparently unrelated gang melee erupted in another building on the compound.
That was somewhere else, though. Right.
In that disturbance, two gangs, the Bloods and the Cutthroats, began stabbing each other with knives in a clash over smuggled contraband. Only one officer was in the control room responsible for supervising scores of inmates at the time that happened.
All right.
Thursday's murder happened in the prison's annex, a separate building from the main building where the armed battle took place later in the day. The annex and the main building are run as two distinct prisons, but they are part of the same compound with a total capacity of about 3,000 inmates. And Columbia houses some of the most violent inmates in the state.
Jesus.
A spokesman identified the slain inmate as Larry Mark, who is 58 years old. Now, Mark was serving a life sentence for a murder that he had committed in 1981. He and a co-defendant hailed a cab and then crushed the driver's skull by bludgeoning him repeatedly with a heavy object. They would not reveal the name of the attacker. Two of the prison sources said the cellmate became angry at Mark for pestering him.
You're pestering me, and I'm going to cut your ears off.
After strangling him, he cut off his ear and gouged out his eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
He put the ear on a string around his neck, showing it off to several inmates before morning breakfast in the chow hall, the source said. And he left the eyeballs in a cup in the cell and told other prisoners that he intended to either eat or drink them later on.
Okay, well, you want to save something for later.
Dessert. It's not clear why corrections officers failed to notice that one of the inmates was missing from the count before breakfast, but that's the word that the Miami Herald put out. Is that...
That is exceptionally brutal.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
I've never heard of one that bad before.
So what prison do you think in the country houses the most brutally violent criminals? Because this probably is one of them.
Maybe. Well, there's that, there's the super prison.
Supermax?
Yeah, Supermax, yeah. Where they hold some of the most notorious...
So it's like a tampon.
It is. Most notorious criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so there are so few exceptions for young men hoping to avoid conscription in South Korea, meaning their term in the military, that even the country's most famous musicians are required to pause their career and get down in the dirt. But 12 vocal students have found a new way to avoid service, and that is to expand their waistlines. The aspiring singers, who were not named, binged on pizza and hamburgers 5 times a day in an effort to gain weight and ultimately fail the military physical. They swapped tips over chat apps and determined high-calorie protein shakes, supplements, and drinking a lot of aloe juice to retain water weight were their best options.
Wow.
All South Korean men must serve about 22 months before the age of 28 and are the subject of physical to determine whether they are fit for duty or not. Those who fail the physical requirements are either exempt from service work altogether or must complete alternative civilian work, generally seen as preferable to the privations of military life. There are almost no exceptions, not even on religious grounds. But apparently, these guys, the 12 weight-gaining vocalists, hoped to work in community service so that they would still have time to sing after work. So they tried gaining a ton of weight.
Are they then guilty of a crime?
Yeah, they're in trouble now. After their plan was discovered, the military conducted an investigation and referred the case to prosecutors. If found guilty, they'll be forced to complete military service. 2 have already completed alternative services, but might have to serve again in the military. So they were busted, yeah. I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but a U.S. Border Patrol supervisor was charged Saturday with the murder in the deaths of 4 female sex workers following what authorities called a 2-week killing spree.
Yeah.
That ended when a 5th woman escaped him from a Texas gas station and found help.
They're calling him
a serial killer.
Yeah.
Juan David Ortiz was an intel supervisor for the Border Patrol who had been charged with 4 counts of murder as well as aggravated assault and unlawful restraint. They found him. He was a 10-year Border Patrol agent and was arrested Saturday after the 5th woman escaped.
It was all prostitutes he was going after, right?
Yeah, sex workers.
Yeah.
So after he picked up the 5th woman, she quickly realized that she was in danger. And when she tried to escape from him at a gas station, that's when she ran into a state trooper and they were able to get her to safety. So the authorities believe Ortiz had killed all 4 women since September 3rd. 2 of them were U.S. citizens, but nationalities of the other 2 were not known yet. An investigation is going on. They're still trying to determine motive for the killings. That's crazy. I love this story. Deputies are searching for a South Florida man who is accused of walking into the Lazy Days RV store, writing a worthless check for $246,000, and then driving away in his newly purchased 2014 Winnebago motorhome.
Florida man.
So,
Florida man.
What employee took that $246,000
yeah, exactly.
check and then handed the keys over?
After Lazy Days tried and failed to cash the worthless check, which was written on June 26, deputies say that they are searching for 59-year-old Robert Schneider.
Don't deposit that till Monday.
Deputies say that they have searched area campgrounds but have found no traces of Schneider or the multicolor motorhome since discovering his check was worthless. Schneider and the motorhome were last spotted in Hollywood, and he faces a charge of first-degree theft. So he has gotten away with it so far.
I'm just going to have to put in an additional $180,000.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.